You're listening to Pastor Matt Erickson's message, Living the Good Life, part of the Good Life series at Eastbrook Church. We welcome you to join us for our weekend worship services on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8, 9:30, and 11. For more information and additional resources, please visit eastbrook.org.
Thanks, Marshall and Terry. Yeah, this is a real deal. It's a real privilege, I think, for us as a church to hear from Marshall and Terry, and even last week to have Pastor Edouard from Syria to learn and to hear from these guys and to stand alongside of them in prayer. You know, it's inexplicable in any other way how people from such vast different places would come together and say we're brothers and sisters. It only through Jesus that Gazans and even Israelis would count themselves as brothers and sisters. And we can stand with them, too, as Americans here today. Let's pray before we come to the scripture. Just ask God to speak to us. I just want to put this time into his hands. Let's bow in prayer. So, Lord, once again, we come here, and we thank you for the gift of hearing from Marshall and Terry. We thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, now that you would get the glory in this time. We want to hear from you. We want to meet with you, the living God. And so come and open us up to you, Lord. We pray, Jesus, that as we're here in this time, that you would speak powerfully. And my prayer is truly, Lord, that I would be able to decrease, that I could fade to the background, and you would increase and take the center place. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, a little bit earlier this year, I was officiating at a memorial service. And as often is the case, I'm asked to read scripture of one sort or another and was asked to read Psalm 23. I think a psalm probably many of us are familiar with is often used at memorial services because of its encouraging words in the face of the valley of the shadow of death. And as I was reading that out loud at that memorial service, it was like a little, I kept reading out loud, but something a little clicked in my head in that moment. And I just thought, maybe Psalm 23 is for more than memorial services. Maybe you already thought that yourself. It just took me a little while to catch up with you. I imagine that many of us are familiar with this psalm or will recognize it if you hear it read out loud. It's something that's even known outside of the church or outside of religious circles. In fact, it shows up in things as random as blockbuster movies like Titanic or the songs of Kanye West or Coolio. I mean, it's just all over the place. You'll hear the psalm work its way in. And it's without a doubt that it's one of the most well-beloved portions of Scripture that people will come back to and return to again and again in their lives. But sometimes I just wonder if because it's so familiar and sometimes relegated to challenging times or funerals, if we really are missing the main point of Psalm 23. So over the next couple weeks, I want us to kind of crawl inside of Psalm 23 and look at it again and just get ourselves back inside of what it really means to enter into the kind of life that's described in Psalm 23 that I think is more than just a word of comfort or an inspiration. I think it's actually intended to be a philosophy of life that we would take on in the face of competing worldviews around us. Some worldviews that say there is no God, some worldviews that say you're your own God, some worldviews that say that there's this God or that God, that Psalm 23 actually becomes a philosophy of life to get inside of the good life as portrayed by the God of the Bible. And I hope that as we look at it, we can get a little bit deeper than the sentimental pictures you might find on greeting cards, past fluffy white sheep and rugged but handsome and well-showered shepherds, into the real deal of what Psalm 23 is really about. Because I think God's actually trying to speak to us about something that shapes our days and our hours and our lives into the life as he intended it. So I'd like to start us off by reading the psalm out loud. And I'm using the English Standard Version or the ESV just these 2 weeks because I think the flow of language and thought is a little bit better conveyed in that translation versus the NIV. It'll be on the screen, I think, as I read it out loud. But feel free to turn there with me in your Bibles. This is what it says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23. Some of you probably could have repeated it from memory with me, but let's talk about what Psalm 23 gets us into. In 1985, there was a book that was published called Habits of the Heart. Some of you may have heard of it, by a couple sociologists, Robert Bella and Richard Madsen. And at one point in that book, they talk about religion in the United States and its tendency to become more and more diverse and also more and more individualistic. Now, about 20 years later, or even 30 years later, I think the book is still as pointed in what it's saying about what religion looks like. At one point in that chapter on religion, they share some words from an interview with a woman named Sheila Larson, who describes her understanding of religion in these words. She says, "I believe in God, but I'm not a religious fanatic," which is interesting in itself, but that's aside. "I can't remember the last time I went to church, but my faith has carried me a long way. It's Sheila-ism, just my own little voice. It's just try to love yourself and be gentle with yourself. I guess take care of each other. I know and I think he would want us to take care of each other." Here's Sheila Larson with her own personal religion called Sheila-ism. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not trying to slam Sheila Larson. I've never met her. I think she's probably honestly trying to reach out to God. But I just have to say, I think that if we want to enter into the good life with God, we might need a little bit more than Sheila-ism. We might need a little bit more than Matt-ism or whatever your name-ism is. We might need more than just the potential 300 million or so different individualized philosophies of life if we really want to enter into the good life as God intends it to be. We might need something more established and rooted and enduring in our lives than that if we really want to get a hold of the good life with God. So I want us to look at Psalm 23. And in the face of all our opinions and ideas that can even creep into our lives within organized religion, not just Sheila, it can creep into our own lives, how do we root ourselves in something trustworthy and enduring? Let's come to Psalm 23 and just come back to this first phrase in verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, I'm going to be lucky if I get through verse 1 today. I just hate to tell you that. Like, we're going to dig in here a little bit. "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, if you look at this verse, and I know you've probably heard it a million times, I just want to point out one simple thing here if you have the Bible in front of you, where it says "the Lord," and those words, those letters are in capitals, "the Lord." What that's conveying is in the original Hebrew language is the personal name of God, Yahweh is my shepherd. Now, this is important because it tells us that this is the God that's been revealed in Scripture. And when we want to come back to the God revealed in Scripture, we need to just go back all the way back to Genesis, if you don't mind. Marshall kind of got us prepped for that. Go back to Genesis, and let's talk about who this God is, Yahweh the Lord, revealed in the Bible. The very beginning of the Bible tells us that God created the heavens and the earth by his mighty power and with simple words. You may have heard me say this before, but there is an amazing Almighty, infinite God who has powerfully spoken all of existence into being by his power. Now, it's a gorgeous day outside. At least it was when I came here earlier today. The sun is shining. The blue skies are stretched out, billowy white clouds. All that is the handiwork of God. The slight tilts and calibration of the earth on its axis that gives us summertime instead of perpetual winter. Yes, it's a miraculous work of God in Milwaukee this summer. We are entering into summer. That is by the handiwork of God that the world is calibrated in such a finely tuned way that life can exist and enjoy things like a sunrise in summer that will eventually get us, Lord willing, to over 80 degrees today. See, these things are by the handiwork of God. That is the kind of God that we're talking about when we start off with, "The Lord is my shepherd." Yahweh God, who has infinitely created all of this world, he is the shepherd being talked about. He's the God who reveals himself as eternally existent. This is when God speaks his name for the very first time to another human being in this way. In Exodus 3 and 4, Moses at the burning bush meeting with God. God says, I am who I am. He is always the same. He is eternally, infinitely present in every single moment of human history, always the same God. I don't know how old you are. I refuse to ask people that question. Tell me how old you are. I just won't do that because it just sets you up for a bad situation, right? About a few weeks ago, I turned 39. I was told this is the last year of my life. After this, there's nothing left. So I'm living large this year, right? But here's what Scripture tells us. No matter how young or old you are, in the cosmic perspective, our life is like a vapor that passes across the surface of the earth. But God is eternally the same. When human history began, God already existed in eternity. When human history will be rolled up in consummation of time, God will eternally exist. He is unchangingly the same. That's the kind of God that we're dealing with here in this little verse. The Lord is my shepherd. He's a God who is infinite and yet reveals himself to us. He's almighty and yet chooses to stoop down and speak to human beings, as we see all through the Bible. If you read the Bible, God loves to show himself to human beings. And he's a God who saves. That's what that name means, Yahweh, the God who is and the God who saves, reaching into human history all through the Bible to grab a hold of people and bring them back to himself. The Lord is my shepherd. This is an amazing God who is relating to us in these ways. The Lord is my shepherd. Now let's talk a little bit about what it means for God to be a shepherd, because you may drive down the highways and see those little sheep somewhere in rural Wisconsin penned in some field somewhere, but the conditions of shepherding in the ancient Near East were a little bit different. The sheep were not penned. They were allowed to roam free alongside of the shepherd. The sheep were dependent on shepherds entirely for protection, for grazing, for watering, for shelter, and tending to injuries. This is what one scholar says. In fact, sheep would not survive long without a shepherd. Shepherds were their providers, their guides, their protectors, and their constant companions. The Lord is my shepherd, says Psalm 23, verse 1. Throughout the Bible, you'll hear God talked about as a shepherd. It's not a Hallmark picture. It's not like kind of an old version of an L.L. Bean catalog. No, what's going on here is a God who steps right into the midst of the dirty, dusty pathways and protects and provides and guides and tenderly cares as a constant companion for the sheep. This is what it says in Isaiah 40, verse 11, one of the most beautiful descriptions outside of Psalm 23 of God's shepherding presence with his people. It says, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. You see, God relates to his people as a caring, tender, and yet powerfully protective shepherd. It's a powerful image and a tender image at the same time. It leads us back to Psalms like Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7, that says, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, the one who's created everything. For he's our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. The Lord is my shepherd. That's the kind of God we're dealing with. Personal in his relating with us, and yet powerfully protecting, intimately caring, providing for us along the way. But let's come back here to one little tiny word in the English translation that I'm sure you've noticed. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. Can you just say that out loud with me once? The Lord is my shepherd. Shepherd. You know what's important about this little verse here is that not only is God the creator of all the world who reveals himself and is saving in his power, not only is God in a general sense or in a corporate sense the one who will care for us and provide for us, but here in Psalm 23, we encounter something that is pretty different from the rest of the references to God as a shepherd. Here in Psalm 23, we get the personal relationship to God, to the individual as a shepherd in our lives. It is a striking difference from words like Psalm 95, we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. What is striking here is the Lord is my shepherd. Now let me get a little grammatical with you, if you don't mind for a second, that this word my in English is called a possessive determiner. It's an adjective describing a noun, which is the shepherd. Just work with me. I know you didn't come to English class at church, but just work with me for a minute. A possessive determiner, this little two-letter word, my, here's what a possessive determiner does. It determines and conveys the attribution of possession or ownership over the noun. It determines the significance and the tone and the meaning of the noun. God is not just a shepherd. Or a shepherd, or our shepherd. God is my shepherd. The entire tone of this psalm, especially this first verse, is set about by those two little letters strung together. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, just say it with me one more time. The Lord is my shepherd. Okay, one more time. You need to preach with me this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. Here's what's going on. The God of the universe, who shepherds his people, steps in intimately and personally, relationally to every person, and shepherds us with his provisional power and tender care. You and me, the Lord is our shepherd, your shepherd, my shepherd. That's what God wants to do and speak into our lives. Not just a cosmic deity ordering the great expanse of the universe. Yes, God has made it all and God sustains it all, but he steps right in personally and relates to people like you and me in a personal manner as we go through our hours, days, weeks, months, and years to the end of our life. That is the kind of philosophy of life that's being laid out here in Psalm 23. Come back to the very beginning. Yahweh God is my shepherd. You see, the good life, in a sense, begins right here. You know, there's competing philosophies of life and understandings of existence, but the biblical understanding begins like this. God has made it all, and he wants to walk with you through your days. That's an amazing gift. I mean, just stop there with me. I mean, let me just say it again. The God of the universe, who has made it all, wants to walk with you and me through the midst of our lives. That's like, I mean, you wouldn't consider that the president of the United States would want to walk with you through your life, right? That would seem ridiculous. You wouldn't consider probably even that the mayor would want to walk alongside of you in the days of your life. We're not even sure sometimes if these political powers actually care about us at different times, governors and mayors and whoever else. But the Lord, the King of the universe, wants to walk alongside of us in our days. That's a philosophy of life that transforms everything about our existence. That's what's going on. It's the good life given as a gift of grace by the living God, not merely a piece of inspirational scripture for the end of our life or in our most challenging days, but relevant to every aspect of our lives. Psalm 23, verse 1. Say it with me again. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, what does it mean to take on that philosophy of life? What does it really look like? Well, first of all, it means this, to choose to live as a sheep. Now, I know you've seen the Hallmark cards, those white fluffy sheep, but man, I've driven from Jordan across the Jordan River into Israel before, and I've seen out in the wilderness places shepherds with their sheep, and let me tell you, they're dirty, they're dusty, and the territory is rugged. It's risky. It's dangerous. And here's what one scholar says about sheep. You know, I opened up these scholarly works, and this is what this one Bible scholar says. Sheep are not only dependent creatures, they are also singularly unintelligent. Prone to wandering and unable to find their way to a sheepfold, even when it is within sight. I'm not trying to insult you any more than I'm insulting myself, but this is kind of where we stand. Not always so smart. Can I get a witness? Not always the best guides for ourselves. Not always the most strong to face the things that are around us in the world. Well, here is the reality. that in a sense, what we need to do to begin to enter into the good life is recognize who we are and who we're not, and that we need a shepherd because we are sheep, sometimes singularly unintelligent. See, some people will say, you know, religion is it's a crutch for weak people. One great social philosopher said, religion is the opiate of the people. You know, just to drug them to keep them placid so that powerful people can take power and keep them out. But the reality, I believe, suggested by Scripture, is that a taking this philosophy of life is actually both incredibly realistic about who we are and also incredibly realistic about the nature of reality. Because anybody who thinks they have all wisdom to guide themselves through all the rugged territory of life, I think, is actually singularly unintelligent and probably needs a shepherd in the midst of their life. Now, here's something we need to grasp a hold of. David, who this psalm is attributed to, was himself a shepherd. David was a shepherd, and when he describes his role as a shepherd to King Saul in 1 Samuel 17, he describes his day-to-day environment like this. When lions and bears came, I fought them off to protect my sheep, and when one was taken, I chased it down and brought the sheep back. Now, I don't know about anybody else in this room, but if a bear or a lion came, I'm not so sure I want to fight them off single-handedly. If anybody does, you know, just let me know afterwards, because I'd like to, you know, be friends with you just to have you on my side. David knew just how risky it was to be a shepherd. He knew the rugged situation. He knew the strength it took. He knew the risks that were out there and what it took to really defend the sheep. And so in the middle of this situation, David is speaking of God in that way, not as some sort of gentle, generous, like weird Hallmark picture. No offense against Hallmark, but it's something deeper than that. David is trying to take us deeper inside of this. Not only that, David himself was a mighty warrior and a king. I mean, David was such a great warrior, in fact, that he vanquished his foes and was able to raise to power in a relatively short time by God's blessing. God viewed David as such a warrior that he said, I don't want you to build my house for me. I'd rather have your next your son come and do that afterwards. So Solomon builds the temple of the Lord, not David, because he had blood on his hands. Now, can I just say something to the guys in the room? Sorry, ladies, if you don't mind me saying this for just a minute. Man, a lot of people say religion and Christianity is for effeminate, weak-kneed people. Guys, David, I'm going to tell you, was not an effeminate, weak-kneed man. What we need is strong men of God who are willing to have the guts, if I can filter myself that way, to be able to say, I know that the strength that I have is a gift from God, and I am still going to submit myself to a shepherd who's stronger than me. It doesn't mean you have to become a weak man. It doesn't mean you have to become a wuss. It means you can trust yourself to the God of the universe in the strength that he's given you. Okay, sorry, that's an aside to the guys. Guys, we need to be men of God. David was a victorious warrior, and he walked with the Lord, putting himself in the humble position as a sheep of the shepherd king. What happens when we begin to put ourselves in that kind of a place? When we put ourselves before the shepherd king as sheep, this is what we read here in Psalm 23. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. When God is our shepherd, he leads us into a place of fullness and abundance in our lives. God pours in his blessing. You see, for sheep to be able to come into the green pastures and to walk alongside the still waters, what they needed was total peace, freedom from pests, and freedom from marauders who would come in, and then the sheep could settle down enough to nibble the grass and feel at peace. In Christ and in God's provision, when he is our shepherd, he can create that atmosphere of peace around us that allows us to be nourished and refreshed in our souls at the very heartbeat of who we are, unlike anything else. It transcends our circumstances. That's why Edward Awabdi, a pastor who's lived in Damascus, Syria, the heart of a civil war for 3.5 years, could get up last week on this platform and say, we are more than conquerors through Christ. I'm telling you, that is something that cannot be explained by human means. When he can talk about the sovereign power of God and the unending love of God being like wings of an eagle that can carry us beyond our circumstances, I'm telling you, there is something that happens that is beyond human understanding when we take God as our shepherd and he pours in the blessing of his presence. It transcends the circumstances of our life. It doesn't mean everything is easy. That's not what I'm saying. But God is in the middle of those places, and he is more than enough for our lives. In the real things, in the relational things, in the employment things, in the neighborhood things, in the city things, in the things we deal with in our private lives, God is more than enough in those places. That's why Paul, writing from prison to the Philippians, says in Philippians chapter 4, turn your anxieties into prayer and present those prayers, those intercessions to God with thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It is inexplicable by human circumstances, but only explicable when an infinite God brings his infinite power in intimate ways into your lives. That's what the shepherd does. He gives us the full life. He makes us lie down in green pastures and leads us beside still waters. What else happens when we take the Lord as our shepherd? It says this in verse 2 and verse 3, he leads me beside still waters, and then he leads me in paths of righteousness. God guides us. God speaks to us. When we say, Lord, I'm not the master of my own destiny, but I want you to be, then the infinitely wise God, by the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, speaks his guidance into the midst of our life. How does he preeminently do that? Through his word. We need to soak it in. We need to let the Holy Spirit awaken God's word in our souls so that when we need guidance, it's there ready in our minds for him to use. Maybe one of the things you might want to do along these next couple weeks with me is memorize Psalm 23. I guess some of us have a jump start on it. But to get this whole psalm into our lives as material for the Spirit to use to call to mind so that we might be guided and led into the straight paths of God's life and instruction, the good life as God intends it. He guides us. He gives us the full life, and he does it all, it says in verse 3, for his name's sake. Let me say one other thing that's probably wildly unpopular in our culture, but I think is absolutely true. Life is not about us. Sorry if that's offensive to you today. But if every person in all of our city thinks life is about them, I'm telling you, we're going to have a serious breakdown, which may be part of our problem. If everybody in our nation thinks life is all about them and their pursuit of their individual happiness, then I'm telling you, we're going to have a problem. So the God of the universe comes in and says, I'm going to lead you and I'm going to pour goodness into you for my name's sake. Now, is God an egomaniacal person who's just out to create, you know, people who are like, ah, God, you're amazing. Oh, God, you're so good. In a weird way, a sick way, God, I want your autograph over this after the show. No, what God wants to do is bring us into relationship with him so we understand when our eyes are on him and we are most concerned with his glory is when we are rightly aligned for the good life in existence. See, it's inextricably tied together for us to seek God's glory and to experience the goodness of God in our lives. You can't experience God's goodness without his glory shining through your life. You can't experience and pursue the glory of God without his goodness being poured out. They are tied together. If we want to get inside the good life, we need to submit ourselves to the Shepherd King who pours in abundance, who gives us guidance, and it does it all for his glory because that's where we experience his goodness. When that sort of thing happens, our lives begin to turn around and change around. So let me just suggest a couple real specific practical things this morning as I stop with this far along in Psalm 23. The most important decision that we'll ever make is choosing to be a sheep before the Shepherd King. Let me just ask you a simple question. Have you decided to become a sheep today? If somebody's here and you haven't made that decision, I just want to challenge you that you might be just as singularly unintelligent as I am, and you might need someone more wise to guide you.
You might be as singularly weak as I am, and you might need someone stronger than just another human being to provide for you and protect you. Maybe today is the day to call out to the shepherd and say, I need to be led. Some of us, though, have done that throughout our lives. And I'm caught up by something Mark Erickson, the former senior pastor of this church, said to me one day. He said, every day when I get out of bed, I put my feet on the ground and I say, God, I want to walk with you today. See, some of us said, Lord, I want you to be my shepherd, but we kind of don't live out of that place day by day. Maybe what we need to do is put our feet on the ground out of bed every morning and say, God, will you be my shepherd? I want to walk with you, the King of the universe. I need that today. Maybe we need to come back to that again and take it on as our philosophy of life, not just a decision we've made in the past. And some of us just need to get these truths soaking in our souls. So maybe alongside of choosing to make the Lord your shepherd, maybe what you need to do is begin to meditate and memorize the simple words, yet the truthful, powerful words of Psalm 23 these next couple weeks. Put it in your mind, because we need that kind of perspective on God, who's the Lord over all, the creator, the sustainer, who also intimately relates to us. We need that kind of perspective so the full life might pour into us, so God's guidance might come into us. Now, it doesn't mean we won't walk through valleys that feel like shadows of death. We're going to talk about that next week. But we know that when life is connected to God, there's something bigger going on than what we see, because even good shepherds lead their sheep through dark valleys into verdant pastures. It's not just for memorial services. It's not just for when life's over. It's not just when the challenges come, but life begins now. So what does it look like for you and me to take God as our shepherd over our days and our years to the end of our life, to show forth his goodness and his greatness? Say it one more time with me. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's pray. God, there is no one quite like you. No one so good and kind. No one so powerful. And so we just say, God, we want you. Lead us in that way. Take our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.